the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, so let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
More singing in a few minutes.
Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I'm sorry, sir, that I felt that I had to go against your advice, but well, the Port of Phoenix is safer to winter in than Fairhaven's.
Oh, I'm not a sailor, Julius, but I've done a lot of traveling on sailboats and know a little bit about the wind. A soft south wind here in this area at this time of year indicates that at any moment it'll suddenly turn into a gale, east-northeast.
Oh, but sir, the way the wind is blowing now, we'll get to Phoenix in a few hours.
No, don't worry about it, Julius, my son. You represent the Emperor. The master and the skipper had to abide by your decision. Right now, the wind is 2 points abaft the beam. It's very good wind to reach Phoenix safely in a few hours.
The wind is increasing.
Yes, I notice. And also these clouds. I'm sorry, Julius, my son, but the gale will be upon us in a few minutes. And the skipper knows it, too.
Mate, furl the mainsail aloft. Quartermaster, heave to, starboard tack.
To furl the mainsail? What does that mean?
It's to take in the big square sail and fasten it on the mainyard. And heave to on the starboard tack means to turn the ship to the right, in this case, to the north.
Mate, hoist the storm sails! Move!
You were right, sir. The wind is blowing up a storm, as they say.
It's worse than that, my son. It's a typhoon. It may last for days, days. The skipper's a good sailor. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to avoid the quicksands at Syrtis. If we rode the winds, we could go straight to Syrtis. But by heaving to on the starboard tack, the ship will blow westward, broadside, have a tendency to forge ahead or head reach in the direction she's pointed, to the north.
Mate, quartermaster, get your men and frap her.
Frap a ship? What is that?
Well, this ship is old. It's about to fall apart. She leaks badly, so she must be made snug or tied together. You know, literally. They actually wrap ropes around her under the hull and across deck. They tighten the rope as much as possible. And when the rope gets wet, it tightens even more, and the ship is, in truth, tied together so she won't leak as badly or fall apart. A ship has to be old and in pretty bad condition to have to do this, and this ship needs it.
Mate, lower the gear! Hurry, we're about to fall off into the sea.
Well, that, my son, means the big mainyard. Oh, that's the long spar to which the sails are attached. And all the gear must be lowered to the deck. The ship will ride more evenly with less strain on her hull.
And so the unseaworthy ship rode out the storm and heavy seas for one day. The second day, however...
Quartermaster! Overboard with the deck cargo and all unnecessary gear!
The third day...
Mate! Quartermaster, all hands on deck! Crew, passengers, soldiers, prisoners, everybody! A mainyard with attached sails, blocks, everything is going overboard. This will take all hands. Now get to it.
Oh, not you, Paul, sir.
He said all hands, including prisoners.
My authority as representing the Emperor is greater than either the master or the skipper. I say you're not going to endanger yourself in this gale and slippery deck. Soldier, do not unlock the chains. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
On the 14th day...
For 13 days, we've been without sun, moon, or stars. No means of knowing where we are. The only means of safety left to us is to run the ship ashore. But we know not which way or where ashore is. And the ship is about to be pounded in two. So I'm afraid all hope is gone. We'll flounder at sea.
Now listen to me, my brothers. You should have listened to me and not left Crete. Even so, I exhort you to be of good cheer... For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. Only the ship will be lost.
All of us, crew and passengers, respect you, Paul. But how can you be sure there'll be no loss of life? Perhaps you're not sure.
I am very sure. For there stood beside me this night an angel of the God I worship and serve. He said to me, "Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God will save the lives of all that sail with you." Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It shall be even as he said, but we will be wrecked and cast upon an island.
On the 14th night, about midnight...
Skipper! Skipper! Land ahead! Land ahead!
Land? You see land as dark as it is?
No, sir, but there is land. I see huge white breakers to the leeward.
Mate, take soundings immediately. Approaching land. It's too dark to run her aground. We'll have to hold her fast till morning. Mate, out with the four stern anchors. Be quick about it.
Some of you go to the stern and let down the anchors. The rest of us will go forward to the ship's boats and let it down into the water. If you hurry now, we'll wait for you. This ship is not going to take this pounding until morning. We'll save ourselves while we can.
Julius, the sailors are letting down the small boat. They're trying to save themselves. However, unless they remain on the ship, none of us can be saved, for no one else can beach the ship properly.
We'll take care of them. Come on, soldiers! We cut the rope, set the small boat adrift.
Fellow passengers, crew and officers, we have been without food for 14 days. For health's sake, we should eat, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. All of you will get to land safely.
Then were the 276 people on the ship cheered. And when they had eaten, they cast out the wheat into the sea to lighten the ship.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Children. love recess. I also love eating lunch under this tree with all my friends. And since all my friends are busy doing something else, I'll just have to eat lunch with you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Let me ask you a question. You and I are trying to be healthy, right?
Right.
We exercise, drink water, get 8 hours of sleep at night, and breathe as much fresh air as we can, right?
Right.
What about our food? How do I know if my mom packed me a healthy lunch? I mean, she loves me and would never do anything to make me sick, but maybe she doesn't know how to make healthy lunches.
Well, she can do what my mom does.
What?
My mom uses the Bible to decide what I should eat.
Your mom packs you lots of loaves and fishes?
No. She told me that when God made this world, he created just what everybody needed to be healthy. Adam, Eve, the animals, everybody ate the same things.
Really? What did they eat?
Oh, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, and mangoes. I love mangoes. It's all right there in Genesis.
So if we eat what God created for us to eat, we will be healthy?
As healthy as we can be, I guess. I mean, God knew what we needed. It makes sense that he put good things in nature for us to eat.
Well, let me see what my mom packed for me. Lettuce and tomato sandwich and whole wheat bread, some carrot sticks, an apple, and for dessert, homemade cookies with nuts in them. Hey, I think my mom did a pretty good job.
God would be proud.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do.
Do not
wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Smilers never lose. Frowners never win. So let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Every day I'll let my little light shine. Hide it under a bushel.
Oh,
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine. Every day I'll let my little light shine, shine, shine. Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Right in the corner where.
Hallelujah.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Don't you love a good mystery that just needs to be figured out? Sammy and the Shoebox Kids do. When Sammy slammed a long fly ball right through the window of old Mr. Chambers' house, he found more than he bargained for. Sammy is sure there's something strange about Mr. Chambers' house, and about Mr. Chambers. Everyone knows he's a mean old man, but could everyone be wrong? Chapter 1. The Confusing Window. Sammy blocked his eyes from the setting sun as he waited for Maria to pitch. She fired up her arm and released the ball. Sammy watched it sail right past Chris. "Strike two!" Maria yelled. "What do you mean, strike?" Chris asked. "That ball was way high." "Was not," Maria argued. "You're just blind." "Am not," Chris said. "Come on, you guys," Willie said. He was the umpire. "Quit fighting. It was a strike." Maria sneered at her brother. Then she returned to the pitcher's mound for another pitch. The Shoebox Kids had met after school for a softball game. Maria, Chris, Sammy, and Dee Dee all attended the Christian school in town. Willie and Jenny went to the local public school a few blocks away. Since school had recently begun again for the year, they hadn't seen as much of each other as they had during the summer, so they tried to get together at least once a week to play ball or just hang out. Chris hit the sweatshirt marking home plate with his bat. "I'm waiting," he said to Maria impatiently. Maria whirled her arm around and let the ball go. Crack, went Chris's bat as it connected with the ball. Up, up, the ball soared, right toward Mr. Chambers' house. Dee Dee ran sideways toward the front porch. She followed the ball with her eyes, put out her mitt, and plop, the ball landed right in it. "You're out, Chris," Willie called. Dee Dee threw the ball into Maria. "Hey," she yelled to all of them, "be careful. The ball almost went onto old Mr. Chambers' porch. There's no telling what he'll do if he hears a ball hit his house." "He'd probably call the police," Sammy said. "I overheard a boy at school say Mr. Chambers yelled at him one time," Jenny said. "I'd believe it," Maria agreed. "He's really mean." Mr. Chambers was an elderly man who lived alone in the old house next to the vacant lot they used as a ball field. It was a huge house, with dormers sticking out on one side. There was even a round tower in one corner, and the many windows gave the appearance of eyes, as if the house were watching what went on nearby. Most kids wouldn't go near Mr. Chambers' house. They were too scared of him. Though hardly anyone ever saw Mr. Chambers, scary stories about him had been passed on from older kids to younger ones for years. As Chris walked away from home plate, he noticed two older boys looking at them. They were pointing and laughing. "Who are they?" Chris asked the others. They all turned and looked. Willie and Jenny looked at each other. "They're new at school," Jenny answered. "They're twins and in the sixth grade. Their names are Larry and Doug, and they're really mean. They made fun of Willie for being in a wheelchair." The Shoebox Kids looked back over at the twins. "Come on," Sammy said. "Ignore them. Anyway, I'm up next." Sammy swung his bat a few times and then set his eyes on Maria's arm. She pitched the ball. Just as Sammy started to swing, one of the twins yelled, "Miss Batter Batter! Miss Batter Batter!" Sammy missed the ball. "I don't think any of you can play baseball," the twin yelled. Sammy and the rest of the kids stopped and stared at the boys. Sammy did miss the ball once in a while, but he knew he was a good baseball player. So were all the Shoebox Kids. It still made him feel bad that someone was making fun of him. "Leave us alone," Maria yelled. "Ooh, we're scared." The boys laughed. They slapped each other on the back and walked on down the street. "Come on, let's play," Sammy said. He hit the ground angrily with his bat. Maria threw the ball. Sammy swung the bat extra hard. When he hit the ball, it shot off like a rocket. It flew over Maria's head and on past Dee Dee, right into Mr. Chambers' open window. The kids froze. They all turned to Sammy. "You gotta go get it," Chris said. "Yeah," Jenny said. "My dad just bought that ball for me when I spent the weekend with him." Sammy gulped. "You want me to go in there?" he asked. "Either that, or you've got to ask old Mr. Chambers to get it for you," Maria said. Sammy didn't like that idea at all. "Come on, it'll be easy," Maria said. "You can stand on Willie's wheelchair and climb right in. You'll be out in a jiffy." Sammy and Willie went across the field to the window the ball had disappeared through. Willie shifted himself to the side. While Chris and Maria steadied the chair, Jenny and Dee Dee kept watch. Sammy stepped up onto the chair and grabbed the wood around the window. Then he pulled himself onto the windowsill. The kids looked around nervously. If anyone saw them, they'd be in really big trouble. Sammy was leaning in Mr. Chambers' kitchen window. The kitchen was a simple room with just a table in the center and a refrigerator along the side wall. A tall hutch stood in one corner. Sammy looked slowly along the floor next to the walls, thinking the ball might have stopped there when it hit the wall. Suddenly, Sammy froze. He hadn't found the ball, but he saw something else. Halfway along the back wall, the flower pattern in the wallpaper changed. Looking carefully at the seam, Sammy could tell the patterns didn't match. "What's taking you so long?" Chris hissed. "Find the ball and get out of there." "Yeah, okay," Sammy said. He looked around the kitchen again, but didn't see the ball anywhere. Finally, he looked down into the kitchen sink right underneath him. There was the ball sitting in the drain. "I've got it," Sammy whispered. As he turned around, he noticed something else strange. "Hey, there's something really weird here. See that little round window next to this window?" Everyone turned to look at a small window about 5 feet away. "Yeah, so what?" Chris asked. "Just get out of there." Sammy slid off the windowsill and back onto Willie's chair. "Well," he said, "that round window isn't in the kitchen. It's a solid wall the whole way to the back wall, and there can't be another room because the back wall doesn't have a door or opening." Just then, Jenny yelled, "Mr. Chambers is at the upstairs window. He's seen us." "Let's get out of here," Sammy said as he stepped back onto Willie's chair and hopped to the ground. As the others took off running, Sammy handed Willie the ball and spun his wheelchair around. They raced across the field as fast as they could go. The friends met up together at the big oak tree up the street. "That was close," Maria said. "Too close," Chris and Dee Dee said at the same time. "He just looked at us," Jenny said. "Boy, is he ever strange," Willie said. "Well, he's not all that strange," Sammy said. "There's something strange about his house, too."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.